You're very tall, John. Good afternoon. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm going to address a few issues of chronic disease on the border, but from the perspective of how to involve community health workers and how community health workers really build bridges between health services and the community, and also the role of universities in this area, because it's important to really involve the knowledge, the academic and research community with the service community. And I guess I'm going to go on. And I have no relationships with any particular industry partners to disclose at this time. And this is the border. There are four states on the U.S. side, from California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And on the Mexican side, there are six states: Baja California, Sonora, Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas. And so within that, the red part is the counties on the U.S. side and the municipalities on the Mexican side. And for many years, there have been bi-national health councils that work together in the sister city across the border. So a little bit about the pandemic of chronic disease. This is some of the data on diabetes on a global level. You can see the tremendous amount of people, millions of people who are suffering from diabetes and who will be, as estimated in 2025 and 2030, about 366 million all over the world, of which the Americas and obviously the border areas have a large amount. This is about obesity also. Most of these maps you can see, not most, all of these maps you can see in the WHO map sections of chronic disease on the web. Just to get a flavor from the global perspective, it's about cardiovascular disease. These are some of the photos are from the border area. The El Paso Sunland Park Mall. And this is interesting to see from some of the studies that have looked at Mexicans living in Mexico and Mexicans living in the U.S. and how the mortality rates among these different populations that have a common cultural and ethnic and genetic background fare within the U.S. and Mexico, men and women. So I'm going to talk a little bit about community health workers in this very large study of prevention of diabetes on the border. It took about 10 years to do a prevalence study and then some capacity building. About the center of excellence that we're currently involved in building and strengthening among university and health service providers along the border in different sites. And then about a little bit of the mental health workshops with promotores. All of this looking at, these are the partners for the border project of the diabetes prevention. And you can see from this that it's not an easy task to kind of bring together so many partners and try to coordinate with all of them to have to develop and to implement activities on the ground. I think that was the idea of showing you all those partners. And that's important because that's the way we do it. The Pan American Health Organization doesn't really go into the field and implement activities, but they build on the partners that are working in the field and try and strengthen their capacity to do the best they can and to improve, you know, what's usual care. So the first part, the promotores went out and interviewed people. They applied a questionnaire. They did heights and weights. They obviously went with some of the nurses of the clinics to do some of the blood tests. They have and this is a very large database. It's the only study so far done on the border with the same methodology for both sides, and also with a representative sample of the border areas of each of the border states. And this is now open to researchers. You can request to get a copy of the database and work on it. And it's very historic because it was 2001, 2002. But it'll be a good baseline to compare what's going on today in the different projects people do. So here you have over 1 million people of 18 years of age and older that have type 2 diabetes. And then there are about 14% of those 4,000 people that were sampled, and you can extrapolate that to the 13, 16 million people today on the border that were borderline or had pre-diabetes. And this is important because working with promotores, these are the folks that you can bring in on time and try and prevent the diabetes from being fully developed and to try and reverse the trend for increasing. And overweight and obesity are some of the major issues that we deal with on the border. And here you have the amount of people with, you know, over 30-some percent, almost 40% prevalence of overweight on the border. And here we have the obesity, the different states. I mean, there's some differences, but I think the issue is that the problem is very big, and there are a lot of people that need to be contacted and to work with. After that first prevalence study, the promotores then were trained, as well as primary health professionals, to improve usual care and to try and increase the outreach that promotores do from the community into the health services to get people tested and to get people to have better care. You can see some of the pictures here where they were training. And the material we used was the Road to Health kit, and you can see that at the CDC exposition area in the convention center. You can get that. It's in Spanish and English. We also tested some materials for eye care and for foot care, which was not very used at that time in on the border. Here's some of the data from the promotores training. We also have data for the primary health care professionals, but I didn't want to burden you with too much data. You could see more than 20% increase in knowledge acquired from the training, from the pre-test to the post-test. And we had more than, I think it was 11 or 12 sites on the border that had more than almost 400 promotores that participated in the training. And this should be coming out soon. It's probably almost there. It's the diary of the promotores where they talk about why they wanted to be community health workers, what they were doing, what motivated them, and what they expected to do. Some of them obviously had diabetes as well, or some family member were diabetic. So it's in Spanish and English. And then from all that experience, we found an opportunity to build or strengthen the capacity of the border with the Center of Excellence. And we sort of, in 2008, decided to inaugurate a Center of Excellence that had several academic and service and community health worker components. These are some, you can see the logos of some of the universities, and we have here folks from the University of Texas at El Paso. So the objectives were to strengthen capacity both at the community and institutional level so that better not only management of chronic disease but also prevention of chronic disease could go on, and also to increase and strengthen the public health workforce along the border in terms of prevention of chronic disease, to have the database available to folks and to increase and make it up to date, the data available to folks both for research and training but also for policy making and changes on the environmental level, and to do a lot of advocacy for this. The project is now in year 3. We started with one project, but we are going to continue with different projects. And so we did a scoping review. If you go into the APHA website, you can see some of the handouts with the results from the scoping review. We did training with community health workers, and we're now in recruiting participants into the project. So there will be a initial testing, fasting blood sugar, lipid levels, anthropometry, knowledge and practices or behavior. And then there will be involved in a training course with the material called Su Corazón, Su Vida, Camino a la Salud. And then we will have every 6 months the same testing of the same indicators to see how well this improves usual care and how well this can, how effectively it could prevent both chronic disease and or improve the management of it. Here's some of the data from the scoping review. And the scoping review was to look at what promotoras were actually doing on the border. So we had both, there are two sites on the U.S. and the other were three sites on the Mexican side. And I'm not going to go into detail. You have these available to you at the APHA handout site. We looked at what they do in advocacy, what they do in evaluation, how well they were trained, what the impact of their activities are in the different sites, what the opinion of the healthcare providers were of how effective the promotoras were working in these sites, what are the elements that contribute to their success, to the, their being able to be effective in the work they do at the community level, some of the disadvantages they were identified as well, other programs, how many other programs were going on the border, so we have some idea of what other programs they were working on that have to do with chronic disease. And some of them identify other, like HIV and other types of interventions. So here's some of the results of the training we've done so far, and not finished yet. But you can see over 20% increase in the scores from the beginning to the to afterwards. It's 12 lesson plans that they work on, and here are some of the promotoras working in the different workshops, more of the workshops they were involved in, and some of the skits they worked on, more of that. And I also wanted to share with you some of the materials that the organization has. This is the strategic plan, the regional plan of action, and you can also access it. This is going to be updated, and the discussion now is to have targets for the region of the Americas and other regions of WHO. And so the next couple of years we'll be working on these targets, especially next year. And also to share with you that this year, in September, the United Nations Assembly discussed the issue of chronic disease and the importance of having all of society, not just the health sector, involved in prevention and management of chronic disease. So a lot of information is coming out of this, a lot of involvement from NGOs, from academics, institutions, from very different organizations that will bear into the issue of preventing chronic disease. And a little bit about the mental health, although mental health is not really chronic disease, but it's important that a lot of diabetes and chronic disease folks also deal with depression, deal with anxiety, and deal with mental health issues. So although this was done mostly because of violence and injury prevention on the border, it's important to keep in mind that although you talk about diabetes and diet and exercise, you really need to be aware of the implications for emotional and mental health. So, and it's also the network of promotoras, and some of the promotoras don't just work on one issue, they don't just work on chronic disease or HIV, they work, you know, in the whole of health promotion and public health. So a lot of more than 300 or about 300 promotoras have been trained in detecting mental health needs among the population and structuring the way they can refer them to different places, different health services. A lot of promotoras. And Loredi took most of these pictures by the way. So we also had the privilege of celebrating Mental Health Day, which was this year in October 10th on the border, and share some of the materials that were available for that. You can go into the website also and get some of that information. So thank you so much.